Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this Thanksgiving Eve is taken from Luke chapter 12, where we begin at verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who came into this world into poverty in order that we might be given the riches of heaven at no cost to us, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. Do you know how to communicate with someone who just won't stop talking? It's actually not that difficult. You just have to wait until they have to take a breath. Everyone has to do that. And then you just go ahead and start talking yourself. It seems that's exactly what the man in this portion of Scripture did to Jesus. Jesus had been speaking to his disciples on a number of important subjects, but when he paused, a man called out to him from the crowd standing about him. Why did he interrupt? Did he have an important spiritual question to ask of Jesus? Was he listening and wanted to ask a related, tangent question? One might wonder if he was listening at all, because he interrupted the Lord with, if we're generous, we'll call it a question, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." He wanted Jesus to talk to his brother. Well, not talk to him, to tell him to divide his inheritance with him. What I'd like to know is, did he also stomp and whine when he asked the question? Why did he ask Jesus? Was Jesus the ultimate way of putting that little extra twist of pressure on his brother? Whatever his reasons, Jesus replied in a way he probably didn't expect, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" The Son of God had not come down from heaven to preside over the division of material goods. He came down from heaven to save humankind from sin and from death, not to balance ledger sheets. There were already, in fact, people in place to do those things. Lawyers, teachers of the law, were in place to handle exactly those matters. Sadly, it seems that this man was not looking for peace with his brother. He was looking for his piece of the pie. As is sadly often the case today, problems can arise that divide families when covetousness and greed are allowed to rule the day. Jesus took the opportunity then to teach his disciples and to warn us about the dangers of greed, the dangers of covetousness and material goods. It is indeed a timely warning on the eve of Thanksgiving Day, a time when we take a moment to thank God for all the material blessings with which he has blessed us. Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Believe it or not, the bumper sticker on the back of those cars is wrong. He who dies with the most toys wins. Rather, he who dies with the most toys still dies. Let's remember just who it is who warns us here to be on our guard and watch out for all kinds of covetousness. We live in a country where we have everything that we need at our fingertips. I heard recently that if you have a full stomach and a roof over your head, you are doing better than 70% of the people in the world today. We are indeed richly blessed by our God. And yet, Jesus warns us about desiring things we would have to sin to get. That's what covetousness is. We need to hear these words because we may at times be tempted to think that what we have defines us or makes us who we are. Maybe as you sit there in your cushioned pews, you disagree. Okay, let me ask. Do you ever find yourself wanting things that your friends and neighbors have? Do you feel you have to have this or that to fit into certain social circles? Do you feel that you have to have at least this type of car or that type of clothing not to be an outcast? Are we tempted to think that this item or that one would just make life more complete? I guess the warning isn't so far off, is it? We need to hear these words because we have what we need and we easily and quickly forget that everything really belongs to someone else. What? Everything belongs to someone else? That's right. The first verse of Psalm 24 tells it the way it is. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's because our God is gracious that he has given us life, and he also graciously sustains our lives. And while God uses earthly things to sustain our lives, they are never to take the place of God himself, who promises so much more than this. It's for this reason that our Heavenly Father says in the 62nd Psalm, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. And that's also the same reason that Jesus told this little story. He began, the ground of a certain man yielded plentifully. In this familiar parable, Jesus presents greed in the most innocent way. We would probably look favorably upon the man that Jesus describes. We would use terms like good businessman, successful farmer. We might even, for a time, wish that we were like him. Why was he successful? Was it because he was a good manager? Was he detail-oriented? Did he pick the right brand of seed? You notice that Jesus doesn't give the man the credit. He simply says that his land yielded plentifully. In other words, God blessed him. The sunshine, the rain, the growth. We tend to forget that too. All it takes is one real dry year before we remember that everything depends upon God's blessing. So was this man thankful with all that he had? Did he thank the true God for having given him a bountiful year, a bountiful life? It seems that God was far from his thoughts. He had a problem. His problem was he didn't have enough room. Listen to see if you hear any thanksgiving in this man's heart and life. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Did you hear any thanksgiving there? Any recognition at all of God's provision? Jesus presents this man as he really is in his heart. He speaks as if his crops and his goods are his whole life. And that's why he must tear down his storehouses and build greater ones, just so that, not just so that he can store his bountiful crop, but so that he can store everything in one place. Perhaps easily protected then too, because they are his future. He did have a great abundance, but he overlooked the fact that even the life that he had was dependent not upon his goods, but upon God. He proceeded to make plans without any thought of God. He assumed that he would live on and enjoy the wealth that he had been given for many years to come. But things don't always work out like we human beings imagine, do they? The golden years? Why? Because our future is not in our hands. We don't ever forget that, do we? We don't ever worry about this bill or that one, do we? We don't ever worry about our retirement money going down the drain during this current economic climate, do we? We don't forget, do we, who's really in control? We would be wise to keep in mind the words again of Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. So the rich man thought that he was in control. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? The word for fool is a rather interesting word. It describes a person who doesn't have understanding, a thoughtless person, one who's not wise or sensible. One would think that we human beings would learn from experience, our own and that of others, that earthly goods are of no lasting value, and yet we don't. They cannot be used to barter or to buy the life to come. All the material things for which we are thankful tonight, tomorrow, and the next day cannot pay for a single sin, prolong life a single day, or acquire a place in heaven. So is Jesus suggesting that we sell everything and become hermits? No. He's telling us that our gathering of earthly things should never get in the way of our obtaining true, lasting spiritual blessings, like the forgiveness of sins. Fools are thoughtless. They don't understand true value. Jesus reminds us where true value is to be found when he says in Matthew chapter 6, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And it was from heaven that our Savior came. And he gave up heavenly riches in order to live in poverty, in order to live and to die and to rise again, to purchase a place for each one of you in the Father's house, in the mansions of heaven. And if he is our greatest treasure, then there is a room with your name written on the door. That's a real reason for thanksgiving today, tomorrow, and every day. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That is, that person is like the rich fool Jesus describes. This likewise would include those who are not in possession of great riches, but still are consumed with obtaining it at all cost. It is a truly rare virtue to be content, satisfied with what God has given. Wait, there's more here. It says, Foolish is the person who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Is this the part where I tell you that you should put more in your envelope when you put it in the plate? Is that what's meant by this last phrase? No. What are we being warned against? What kinds of treasure are being compared? There are two treasures compared: earthly, material, and spiritual, heavenly treasure. Jesus' warning is about greed, yes, about the temptation to choose earthly things over spiritual things. And it's true that those who use their goods to further the kingdom of God and His righteousness are wise. But they do that because they have been made rich by God already. Not merely with money or goods, but with the most valuable gift of all, which you also possess: faith that trusts in Jesus Christ. Literally, Jesus says here, "Thus is the one storing up for himself and not in regard to God." What he's really doing is encouraging us not to undervalue the lasting riches freely given to us by him through his sacrifice. If our hopes are built on Christ, then they are. Then our futures are secure, whether you're rich or poor. Thank God that we are rich in blessings from God, and may the Spirit always help us to be truly thankful for all of those blessings. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.